Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And Mommy too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. Here you lead today and enter our 315th episode. Oh, 315 from my Syracuse brethren back home. Whoop, whoop.
You guys are so hardcore.
Straight edge hardcore.
Again, I'll stick with my hardcore comment.
Hardcore, rotten
to the core is more
fair,
like.
Fair enough. I'll own that.
Anyway, welcome back to the only podcast that's rebel enough to, you know, stay out past midnight, even if we might get turned into pumpkins.
And have to wear one glass slipper home. Why would you do that to somebody? Like, not only, oh, I just lost one of my slippers, but the other one I have to walk home in is made of glass.
Well, why were they made of glass in the first place?
Yeah, to begin with.
Can you imagine if that broke while you're, you know, living in it? Like, just being near a glass slipper is not safe at all.
She gets out of the pumpkin carriage and, like, immediately when she steps on, like, the cobblestone, it breaks.
Exactly.
She's just a shard of glass.
Because everywhere is cobblestone.
She's like, you gotta take me home now. I'm gonna have to bandage this up.
No, you gotta take me to a hospital now. Right? Well, I don't think there's probably hospitals. Take me to a live-in doctor. I don't know.
The friggin' stage coachman is all like, but you gotta dance. He's like, I'm not dancing on this foot. You're taking me home now.
Yeah, glass slipper fairy godmother. You are one evil lady in disguise. Yeah, right? I think the villains have a new villain too. Right. Add to their list.
I like it. All right, so without further ado, let's get into our rundown for today's episode. Lay it on me there, BMO.
All right. So Jungle Cruise moved back to 2020. Wonder what that's about. Walt Disney World annual pass price increase. That's not surprising at all. And the Millennium Falcon begins construction at Disneyland.
Perfect. And in our Marvel World, season 3 canceled.
Oh.
But we did get some lead concept art for Avengers 4 revealing the rescue armor, but who's going to wear it? And then finally, Guardians Volume 3 has a short list of directors to replace James Gunn. We'll talk about why that is actually interesting.
Cool. And then for Star Wars, let's talk about those rumors for Leia's role in Episode 9 and, you know, things that could return from Force Awakens.
Nice. And then finally, George Lucas visits the set of The Mandalorian. What does this mean?
It's just exciting anytime Lucas gets mentioned in any of this news anymore. And we got to talk about Wreck-It Ralph, yeah, in the Star Wars news, because Wreck-It Ralph almost wrecks Ren.
That's a tongue twister if I ever heard one. So perfect. So we'll have all of this and more for you on this episode of Hilt Radio. But before we get into the news, we're going to talk a little bit about our adventures and how we inject our fandom into the things we do week in and week out. So T1, without further ado, take it in.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
All right. So as you guys know, it is Halloween season. As Brittany drips water right down her face. Nicely done, my dear.
Apparently I have a big hole in my lip.
Very elegant. Very elegant.
A bigger hole in my lip.
Right. But no, we do have, obviously, as the television is riddled with Monsters, Inc., Monsters University, Nightmare Before Christmas, Hocus Pocus.
And that's just on Freeform.
Yeah, so then all the Halloween specials for
Adam's
all the
family.
Yep.
What? Well, those aren't Disney. But either way, they're played on Freeform, so it counts.
We're still going to count it.
I think Hocus Pocus plays almost every day, though.
Oh, yeah, without fail.
At some point, Hocus Pocus is on your TV during the 31 days of Halloween.
Right now, while you're listening to this podcast, Hocus Pocus is on your TV.
Right. And I don't know how we were so behind to hear about the Hocus Pocus 25th anniversary Halloween bash or whatever it was called.
Yeah, I literally was watching Hocus Pocus and then you asked, oh, hey, is that bash on right now? And I was like, yeah, it's on after this airing of Hocus Pocus. And you're like, yeah, because that's going to be on. I'm like, I know, I saw it on the guide.
But that was his news. Like, that was him or it telling you that it was coming on. You didn't know of it.
I didn't know about it before that because you're the Disney news person.
That's true. And I didn't notice it until probably earlier this week. So I don't know if I just missed it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sure it'll be replayed multiple times. So check out Freeform. It's definitely worth a watch if you're a Hocus Pocus fan. And yes, it being the 25th anniversary for both Hocus Pocus and Nightmare Before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So this year is the 25th. So they went all out. They did a Halloween bash. And they got celebrities to come in and judge, what was it, like a costume contest, I guess you can say. There's quite a bit. A lot of Hocus Pocus costumes, which was kind of like, come on, guys, be original. You knew everybody was going to do Hocus Pocus. Do your costume contest.
Oh, you're a girl with two friends? Sanderson sisters.
Right. We're going to win because we're the Sanderson sisters.
You're a thin, tall dude. Billy Butcherson.
Right. Like, and it's like, come on. You knew everybody. You had to be thinking that everybody was thinking the same thing.
I did dig that there was like a dude that came out dressed as Winifred Sanderson. That was probably the best one.
And there was a group that got third place or something for the Sanderson sisters because they had to give one of them.
But then
the second place and first place were original. So that I was glad about because the two costumes that were pretty epic were the ones that got first and second. They were my favorites. One was like a spider. Big spoiler alert for you guys. Sorry. That was total spoiler. Anyway, you're not going to watch it.
Well, now they're definitely not going to watch it.
That's part of the show. I would say the highlight of the show was seeing all of the clips for like working on the film. Behind the scenes stuff. Kenny Ortega was there, the director of the film. You know, this was his vision and his baby, and he put it out there. So they did, what's her name? Is it Kathy Najimy?
Yeah.
Or is it, Kathy or is it Nancy?
Kathy Najimy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll go with that.
She was there. The other Sanderson sisters were only in video specials. So you had Sarah Jessica Parker and you had Bette Midler, but they were only on there for videos. I think everybody else was there. Thor Birch.
Doug Jones.
Omri. I always forget his last name.
Yeah.
But I like the name Omri, so that's why I remember that name.
Was Vanessa Shaw there?
Vanessa was there, I believe. Or maybe that was the young girl. No, Vanessa was there.
Vanessa was there, yeah.
Vanessa Shaw. Yeah. Even young Emily was there. I'm like, holy moly.
She was super drunk.
She was totally wasted.
Super drunk.
Or maybe she's just high on life. I don't know.
She's either super nervous.
Yes.
Or super drunk and super nervous. Because holy crow, she was definitely out of her
element. She was out there.
And then the Ernie and I'm...
Ice?
No, that's Ice is Ernie.
I know, I'm trying to think Ice and...
I'm Jake. I'm Jeff.
I don't know. Anyway, the burnouts.
Yeah.
They were there. They look the same. It's freaking awesome to hear their little input. And it was cool to see everybody kind of get back together and talk about the movie. The hosts were Jordan
Sparks.
She was there. She was a singer. She performed with Dove Cameron and Sophia Carson. They did I Put a Spell on You. And that was fun. I liked seeing their little rendition of that and to see the dancers. I think there was a couple of groups. Oh, were they Filipino?
Sure.
The dance crew.
Yeah, that rocked high Filipino? Heels. Yeah. They looked it.
I think they were Filipino. Anyway, they came out and they were dancing and it was amazing because dance crews are usually always awesome. And then they did like a little dance, like, we're going to go behind the scenes, come back. They're all wearing like 5-inch stilettos.
Right. Red high heel.
I can't even walk in those.
Spice Girl style.
Yeah.
Footwear.
And they went out and they were dancing and breakdancing, landing flips.
Oh my God.
Landing like tosses. Oh my gosh. It was nuts. So that was pretty cool. And,
And it's Jay. I was almost there. Jake and Jeff. I was right with the Jay name. So yeah, it's Jay and Ice. Jay and Ernie. And Ernie was Larry Bagby. And then Tobias Jelinek was Jay, who apparently is also in Stranger Things.
Yes.
But we could not place who he was.
So who was Tobias? Yeah. Or maybe we did and we totally forgot.
And it was Omri Katz. Max Dennison.
I should remember both of those names.
Sean Murray, who was Thackeray Binks, he was by video vidcast as well.
Thackeray. Did everybody else think that his name was Zachary when always, you were young?
Like forever.
Okay. Yeah. It wasn't just a me thing.
No, I always thought it was Zachary.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't until the last couple years that I figured out that it was Thackeray. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what an awful thing.
Why
to do
did
to
I
a child?
Never read the freaking
end credits
or even when you listen to the father ask, like, what have you done with my son Thackeray? Like, he straight up says Thackeray. How did we miss that? I mean, you just assume Zachary, so that's what your brain tells you you're hearing.
I think one of the things I thought was that they talked about that was really cool was the fact that this was a box office bomb.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until 10 years later, so it was 1993 when it came out. It wasn't until 2003 that they started doing like re-airings of it, and then all of a sudden it just completely blew up. But you got to figure, it was like all those kids that were like 10 when it came out in 1993, we're now 20, and they were like, ooh, we're going to get drunk, and we're going to put on our Sanderson sister costumes. You weren't four in 2003. Oh, God. Were you four in 2003? Oh, my goodness.
In 93.
I am so fired.
In 93, when it came out, you nerd. Anyway, so I would have only been 14.
I'm like, you're 14 years old.
So I would have only had been 14 in 2003.
Right, but even for you at that point, you were still old enough to be like, oh, I remember. I vaguely remember this.
Oh, I remembered Hocus Pocus from childhood. Like, that was, I'm sure I was four watching Hocus Pocus. And
wait, so were you four or were you not four in 2003? This is very important for me to know right now.
We won't disclose that on the show.
Anyway. This will be a very private. This may be the last show.
Anyway. So, yeah, Hocus Pocus was such a childhood thing.
Yeah.
And then, yes, it definitely grew into that, I guess, hitting 2003 when they started re-airing it and people were, like, obsessed with it again. Like, oh, remember this movie? We loved it. And then now you, even later from then, everybody is so obsessed with, I feel like nostalgia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think all of us were just like, I remember that from childhood. Let's make it a big thing again.
Well, but think about a lot of the cartoons that we have on TV right now, like Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge when I was a kid. Transformers, I was a kid.
But I feel like Ninja Turtles one that has like stayed around for a long
time. There were definitely some dark years when they did like the live action stuff that was like,
right.
like with the Venus de Milo, weird female turtle. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there were definitely some dark times there.
I still get the names wrong, guys. He bugs me about it all the time.
How you don't
like,
know
how
these
do
things?
You not know these things? And I don't know.
You're such a pop culture aficionado. Like, how do you not know the difference between Leonardo and Donatello?
Wait, okay, let's see. Leonardo's the leader in blue. No?
Yes.
Okay, that's the only reason why I know that one.
Yeah.
Leonardo, leader.
Yes.
Leonardo's the leader in blue.
Yeah, I hate to tell you that.
I know. That's the only reason why I remember it.
Who else do you know?
Raphael is red.
Yes.
Mikey is orange.
Yes.
Who's the fourth one? I'm just kidding. It's Donatello. And he's purple.
See, you got him. It only took you 4 years to get it right.
It's because I remember the song. It helps me so much.
It does. Yeah. But no, but I think that's kind of part of it is like we like these things to come back full circle, and especially to have Nightmare Before Christmas and Hocus Pocus hit a 25-year anniversary in the same year.
Yeah.
It's pretty rad. Like, I mean, obviously Nightmare Before Christmas did phenomenally well in 1993, but Hocus Pocus not coming out in the Halloween season, coming out in like July of
93. Oh, yeah, against Jurassic Park.
Yeah, of course that's why it didn't do well. So
such a bummer.
So you
had Bette Midler, you're like, how did that not
draw people in at that point.
It's Disney, and it was in the 90s of epic Disney like times, so
well that and like the use of practical effects as well as CGI, you know, just
that's
the,
one thing to admire still today,
because it
looks
up.
So good, like the cat
Zachary Binks' his friggin face,
the cat tricks,
yeah,
how they just used a buzzer to get them,
a buzzer and catnip, they're like, we have catnip in our pocket,
and then them flying, like they legit were flying because they didn't have the budget for CGI, and if they did, it would not have looked as good.
Yeah, so I think all you put in all of those things, which is why movies like that hold up. Why movies like Star Wars hold up, or even Jurassic Park. Like, yeah, there was some CGI that was in there as well, but there was also a lot of practical effects. So I think having that combination played out really well throughout those decades.
It's kind of a bummer now, though, that we have so much CGI and you kind of can't go backwards. As much as we say, like, we want We want practical effects back, and we want to see the puppets, and we want to see all this. But then, if it's not done properly, they stick out like a sore thumb.
Well, yeah, and it's because the CGI has become so good. Like, back then, you had to balance it because the CGI was so... Well, okay. Disney CGI is so good. there are a handful of other studios that
There's
do have good
CGI,
but there is one particular studio who shall remain nameless whose CGI is pretty atrocious. Mm. So when you think about that, like these big budget films that have the money behind them, but they don't invest it in quality CGI, which is why certain things can come out looking hokey.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is kind of the issue with practical effects these days. Even in The Force Awakens, like, yeah, we were all excited about, like, oh, practical effects. But then you see some of those things, you're like, wow, like, just silly.
That's what I'm saying, because it's too good.
Yeah, exactly. The CGI is just,
they just stick out way
too good.
Sometimes. I don't know. Somebody's going to give us that one. JJ, I'm looking at you.
They're going to remake The Dark Crystal.
It's going to give us that hit where it just blends so perfectly.
Somehow,
anyway.
I doubt it.
Anyway, but leading into the 25th of both Hocus Pocus and Nightmare Before Christmas, we're going to go see the Nightmare Before Christmas in concert.
Live at the Hollywood Bowl.
With Danny Elfman and who else is there? Oogie Boogie's there.
Yeah, Ken Page.
Yes. And O'Hara. Catherine. Right? Doesn't it just never sound right?
Well, because I always want to say Maureen, but Maureen
O'Hara... But that's
O'Hara,
the wrong one.
Well, isn't that the...
The one from all the old Disney movies. Yeah. So Catherine O'Hara. From Home Alone, you know, that one. So, anyway, I'm excited.
Yeah, Catherine O'Hara.
Cool. So I'm excited. We're going to see them finally. We've missed it the last couple times that has come to the Hollywood Bowl because we never catch it in time or just trips never work out for us. This time we heard it was coming out. We talked to our friends, the Odysons. We're like, hey, you guys down? We're down. We're all down. We're going. So
are you down?
We will
down,
be there
down,
this weekend. Down. And Liam took over the show. Anyway, we will be in the parks this weekend, but just for a little bit. Friday we'll be there probably all day. And then Saturday we'll be there for half a day. Probably, honestly, just the afternoon-ish. And then morning to afternoon. And then we got to get ready, head back to the Odysons. And then I'll head to LA to go to Hollywood. So,
Los Angeles? Huh? LA?
Oh, gosh, I love it.
Tubular.
Oh, they're the best and the worst at the same time.
Yep. They're very Jane Silent Bob-esque. Yeah. Dead man's chunks.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. Are you guys going to be in the parks? Let us know. We'd love to see you guys. Say hi. Are you going to be at the Hollywood Bowl this Saturday? That's also, you know, huge. I know a lot of people are going for Friday because it's that Disney-bound event that's going on. But we will be there Saturday. So if you're going Saturday, let us know. Maybe we can meet up with you there too because that would be awesome. But yeah, I guess we can get into some news because I think that's really all we've been up to and what we're looking forward to.
Let's get into it.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
We're kicking it off with the Jungle Cruise. It has moved back, I think, 9 months, if I did my math correct. Which is probably wrong, because math. from October 11, 2019 to July 24, 2020. So we knew it was originally coming out October 11th. That's what was always set since they had released like their movie schedule in the last couple of years. But The Rock just announced, like, on his Twitter or something, like, Jungle Cruise, it's official, July 24th, 2020. So there was something in the works going on there that I don't think they were going to keep that October date.
No, and we'll get into this in the Marvel news, but when they canceled one of the, I think it was the July date that got canceled.
It was
canceled.
July 31st that got canceled.
Canceled for 2020, so it opened it up. And they probably just assumed, like, oh,
they'll
do better.
That's a blockbuster date, you know? Yeah. It's in the summer. I think they're really expecting Jungle Cruise to be this huge, huge hit. I said it before. I think they're expecting it to be, like, their next Pirates. I don't know. That's the vibe I'm getting from it.
Right.
The Rock. Come on. Emily Blunt. Well, two huge stars.
And you figure if it's massive, it definitely has the capability to set up a franchise because the Jungle Cruise can happen in any jungle.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
Just keep jungling around.
Figure out a cool story to tell, and as long as the first one's a hit, people will keep throwing their money at you, Disney. Even if the even if the first one's not a hit, I'm sure people will still go see the dang sequel just because. But yeah, so July 24, 2020 is the official date for the Jungle Cruise. I'll be there. You'll be there because you just have to be. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Jungle Cruise.
I'm super pumped for this. I was definitely apprehensive at first, mm-hmm. just because I didn't know how they were really going to go about this. But I mean, it looks like they were going for a pretty strong cast. Mm-hmm. I still don't really know what the storyline is going to be, other than it's them traversing through a jungle.
They're going after something that is a
fountain of stuff.
Of life. the fountain of youth or whatever. Like,
right.
It keeps you young. It keeps you alive forever. Oh.
But I think that was where my concern came from. Was it going to feel too redundant? Like, for what pirates were always searching for is the same stuff that these, like, adventurers or treasure hunters are going
to
search for.
What else is there to search for besides literal treasure?
There's only so
the
many
stakes have to be high. That's the story that's behind it. It's like, why do you need it?
And I'm sure each character has its own machinations for why they are pursuing the whatever the MacGuffin is, right?
Because you know there's got to be villains, so what do they want it for?
Well, I mean, obviously Emily Blunt's the villain. I mean, let's be
honest. That's what's going to happen right now. Well, out of the two, if either were going to be a villain, it's definitely going to be Emily Blunt. Have you seen her in Devil Wears Prada? I'm just saying.
Right? Have you seen The Rock in Jedi Wears Prada?
That's a whole different movie.
Star Wars Episode 9, The Jedi Wears Prada.
Right, where... I guess that's the next title.
That's where we are now. That's where we are with things these days.
You heard it here. All right. So let's talk about Walt Disney World. And hey, price increase. No surprise. It was a matter of time.
I don't mean to laugh at your misfortune, but...
We're just still bitter that you guys pay less.
Your most expensive pass is still cheaper than like our cheapest pass.
And you get 4 freaking parks in that one.
Oh my goodness.
Like that... Ugh. And there's no blockout dates, too. Okay, so what we're so angrily laughing about over here is that, I mean, that doesn't mean good things for us, because we know ours is going to go up in February if it doesn't go up sometime soon.
Right.
It's guaranteed to happen. But so this pass, it's their Platinum Pass is what this one's called. And so that one is all 4 theme parks with no blackout dates. Is $8.94 now. It went up from $8.49 because back in February, so this is not the first time. It's been a while since it has gone up twice in the same year.
Right.
But so in February, it was $7.79. It jumped to $8.49. Now it has jumped to $8.94. So if you look at in a year, it has jumped from $7.79 to $8.94. That's
$120.
$115.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a 15% increase there. And that's nuts when you think about that big jump. If there wasn't that one in the middle, holy crap, yes, that's a big jump. But for us, when we saw that number, we're just like, seriously? They get 4 parks and no blackout dates for like $100 and something less than us?
Yeah, but also think about, for us, the previous pass that we had was... $7.99. It was $800. Well, sorry, it was $8.49, but because we were legacy pass holders, we got a $50 discount per ticket for per pass. So that dropped it down to $7.99, right? And then what did it jump to this last time? $9.99.
Yeah.
So ours took a $150 jump. So it's like, it took a $150 jump for us because we were getting a discount before that, which they didn't duplicate the next time. For us personally, took a $200 price increase, but for the average pass holder, took a $150 price increase. So if they want to complain about $115, like, yeah, I'll gladly have taken $115 over what we got.
Well, I would just love to be paying $8.94 for a price for a freaking pass still, or the fact that last year they were still paying $7.79.
Yeah.
For 4 parks and no blackout dates. That's so nuts.
But we know it's because it's higher attendance out here. And it is. The parks are smaller, so it's hard. You know, you have to increase the price to mitigate the amount of people that are trying to get in.
As much as, like, this It should make you angry because it is your money. And if you, it's something you love, if you can't afford it, that sucks. For us, when it finally gets to that point to where we can't afford, we are going to be devastated. I know we will.
Yeah.
But we get why they're doing it, because we're just talking about now going down Halloween and how disgustingly crowded it is. Like, yeah, all of the people we follow that go into these parks by like 9 a.m, they're saying, if you're not already here, don't come. Like,
right.
That's silly. Like, that is so crazy. And just because it's the Halloween season.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, I mean, I guess Pixar appear, but there's nothing really new until Star Wars Land. And so if you can imagine what the Halloween season does, what a new land is going to do for both Disney World and Disneyland, it's going to be gross. People are going to be angry. If you want to enjoy it, I would wait a few years.
Wait for it to die down.
If it's like one thing, like if you don't get to go often and it's something that you have to wait years or decades in between, I would wait a few years for it to die down. If you're not a fan of crowds, because it's going to be nuts. You're going to be waiting lines for hours. Guaranteed, those rides are going to be 3 hours long.
Oh,
guaranteed.
Yeah,
Cars was over 2 hours.
Yeah, and you had to figure, at least with Cars Land, you had 3 rides.
Yeah.
This one, there's only going to be the 2.
Yeah,
so
those are going to be over 3 hours for sure. Yeah, there's going to be a difficult line just to get into the park. Like, it's going to be nuts.
It's going to be lines to get into Star Wars.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean? So
that's
like
what they had to do for Toy Story Land over in Disney World. They had a line. You would get into the park, but then you would have a line to get into the area.
Yeah, so you'd have to wait for people to leave, and then they would let people in.
That's so nuts. And that's what it's going to be for a while. And that's something we have to discuss. And do we really want to be there? And then when we really talk about it, we're like, yeah, we have to be there. Even if we don't get to do anything, we just need to be there. Because it's something about, you know, Star Wars, Disney.
Well, yeah, it's Star Wars, being able to see that, being able to see it when
talk
it does,
about it,
you know, when it first opens and whatnot. And
have that experience ourselves before reading about it.
Yeah, for us, and then even for Remy, like, I feel like that would be something really exciting for him.
For
him,
to
be able to walk around.
Because
he's of that age, that it makes sense that
and
you would want
to
see.
And then a story
things
to tell when he's older.
Yeah.
I was there opening month, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't think we'll be there opening week.
Well, no, and I mean, it's tough because, yeah, he's only 3, but say we took him to, like, an LA Galaxy game, and he got to see, like, Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Ashley Cole play live. I mean, it's not something that he's going to like really remember, but it's like a fun story to tell like when you're older.
You know, he's going to hate soccer when he gets older, so it's not going to be a story he's going to want to tell.
Oh, God, he probably will.
Because you love it so much, he's going to... Well, I could say the same thing about Disney, I guess.
Yeah.
Because we love it so much. Disney was everywhere. I hate it.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse is going to be in his nightmares.
When he hits like the weird, awkward, like 13 gothic teen age, and then all of a sudden just... I just want to stay in the room and listen to Deftones.
And he wears the big JNCO jeans with like 10 pockets.
The parachute pants, yeah. And he's got 1,000 wallet chains, but no wallet.
But no wallet.
And everybody has a wallet, there's no money in it.
And there's no money at all.
What are you trying to protect there, cool guy?
The moths. Anyway. So, yeah, a price increase for Disney World. It's a bummer. It's going to happen. And it's got to happen now. You got to figure with two in the same year, they have to capitalize on the people who are going to renew from now until February.
Yeah.
They can't have it because they know within this next year, if
Star
it's supposed
Wars
to,
opens,
yeah. yeah, it's with, we're in that year range. They have to do it now. It makes sense. So sorry, Disney World, you're getting closer to our number, but I honestly don't think you'll ever get to us because I'm sure ours is going up in February.
Yeah.
So
ours will jump as well as it does.
And that's when we stop being annual pass holders.
Unfortunately, it's probably true.
All right, so let's talk about, Star Wars Land.
Why not?
The Millennium Falcon begins construction at Disneyland.
Which was kind of surprising because I would have assumed that they were already building that while they were doing all the scenery stuff. But this, the shot that was released, it's definitely a drone shot or like a...
Yeah, I'm sure it's from a...
Or Google, like
Google Maps. It's a drone.
Thing. Yeah, so it's a top down and you can see that like the mandibles are already constructed, but it's still the framework for like the circular part of the Falcon itself. It looks, the mandibles look great. So, I mean, they're, and you know, since it's Disney, they're going to go full tilt boogie on making this thing look phenomenal. But it is very close to like a mountain enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be that you board the ship and then you're brought into.
Well, no, this is just for like photo purposes, isn't it? isn't this just a structure outside?
But isn't the Millennium Falcon
There's
ride?
A ride? I think this is on the outside of the ride. Like, hey, this is the Millennium Falcon ride. And then you go in. And
to
then
like you, the mountain,
and then you go, through. And then you go in the ride. But
they
this,
make it seem like, oh,
this I think
you go
is
into the mountain, and you're coming back out to go into the Falcon that you saw up front. But it's not actually the Falcon you
no,
see up front.
I no.
We're gonna put you into a room.
It'll be like a, Star Tours yeah, or something yeah, like that. There you go. Yeah, you're not gonna be.
Well, I assumed you would board the Falcon, but then it will take you into the mountain type thing.
No,
like, so that way they, you still have the at least the concept of like, oh, I'm going up into the Falcon. You know.
I don't think so. This, for me, from what I remember, all the like prototypes and stuff, there was a Falcon that was outside that people were like taking pictures in front of. I think this is just to take pictures, just like they had the AT-AT over in Disney World. You know,
right,
how they
the
have that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the same idea.
Jawa Traders or whatever it is.
Yeah, I don't know. So I think that's the same idea.
Okay.
I think it's all just for... This is the Millennium Falcon ride. Take a picture.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Which is honestly
it looks
that,
and it's going to be impressive because in the photo, I think even Darth Mega sent us the photo of like there's a construction worker who's like right out in front of it, like for sizing purposes.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Well, yeah, you have to figure you want it to be as massive and as accurate in scale as possible.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be breathtaking.
So, yeah. So everybody's going to be standing outside waiting for their chance to get their picture
to
and
get that photo.
You'll never get a good picture because there'll always be thousands of people walking right in front of you and behind you and around you, so
that's okay. It's called Photoshop. We don't know how to use it,
we
but
don't
some
know how
people
to use
do
it, but, yeah, somebody out there knows how to use it.
All right, so let's talk about some Marvel news.
Perfect. So I didn't have to do a whole lot of editing from last week's news because as you guys remember, last week Iron Fist got canceled, and this time I just had to replace Iron Fist with Luke Cage. Season 3 has been it's been nixed.
Cut.
It's been cut from the team. He's handed a pink slip. There wasn't really a whole lot of reasoning given.
No.
There was a statement put out by the showrunner. Leo Coker. And you know, he thanked the cast and the crew and Marvel and Disney and Netflix for allowing them to do the two seasons that they did and to visit Harlem and really bring, you know, Harlem's hero to life. Like, you know, and I'm super bummed about this one. Like with Iron Fist, I was bummed because season 2 was so much better than season 1, and season 2 had a really cool cliffhanger ending that I was like, oh wow, I'm excited to see where they go from here with this character. But with Luke Cage, like, I was on board, like, episode one, season one, minute one, like, you know, just even from the trailers, I was super excited for Luke Cage. So I was kind of hoping with the way that they left things in Harlem's Paradise that we would get that season 3. For me, it was like a surefire bet. There was never a point that I was like, oh yeah, we won't get more Luke Cage after this.
Well, yeah, it was the same with both of them. They very much ended on a kind of the cliffhanger where you knew you were going to get both.
Honestly, Iron Fist, I kind of thought like they'll do the one season. It wasn't well received. They'll put him in Defenders and then that's it. And he'll just pop up in other people's shows. But in the fact that they were like, nope, we're doing a season 2 next year. We're good.
And with the cancellations, I honestly don't think it's anything to do with success or, you know, how they were widely received because I think they were well received for the most part. I think
all
the reviews and from friends and just, you know, anything we've heard from critiques wise, it was all greatly received. Everybody kind of enjoyed them and they liked the darker tone and the story of the full story, I guess you can say.
The atmosphere that they created.
People
for sure.
enjoyed these shows. So I don't think it has anything to do with that. And even to touch on a comment that we got from, you know, a listener from Kermit Kid, he was saying something about the R rating, you know, like that probably had something to do with it. And it's like, honestly,
I don't think
has anything to do with it.
Well, because you figure about like the success that DC has with so many of their animated properties, and a lot of those are incredibly violent. Mm-hmm. Look at Logan was an R rated film and was like critically received. Deadpool 1 and 2, same thing. So I think I don't get hung up on the rating. I understand for some people that is a barrier to whether or not they're going to view a certain property. But for me, I never think that's a barrier. I think it more of like, is the storyline interesting?
Exactly.
Like, is it enough to draw people in? and I think with Luke Cage, with Iron Fist, with Jessica Jones, with Daredevil, Punisher, Defenders, all of it was solid. Mm-hmm. I think this has more to do with Netflix knowing that once Disney launches the streaming service, that there isn't a future for these characters in the way that it is now. And I was having some exchanges with people on Twitter about this, and at first I was thinking like, oh, they're gonna set up Heroes for Hire, like, obviously, like, why wouldn't they? And then when I really thought about it, I was like, yeah, but they could have done that without having to cancel it. They could have just done Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Season 3, Heroes for Hire. Like, they could have just called it that and it would have been fine, or just call it Heroes for Hire and it's the two of them and it is their Season 3 combined, especially with Iron Fist getting less episodes, like how he only got 10 episodes for season 2 instead of the 13 that they normally get,
right,
where maybe they do 10 episodes and it's kind of like a 5 and 5. Like, there's 5 episodes that focus more on Luke, 5 episodes that focus more on Danny, and you're good. There's your 10 episode season.
Well, where's Jessica Jones going to be in all that? Because give it a week or two and Jessica Jones is going to be
canceled as well. But when I'm thinking about it now, like, maybe it
is. And then Daredevil.
Well, then...
Punisher.
Punisher. But that's the thing, is like, maybe it is because all of this is just getting moved over to the Disney streaming service. So it's not like they can just keep it on. It's one of those things where, like, no, at Netflix, these are no longer going to be
produced. I don't think it'll go anywhere. Obviously, Netflix is Netflix. They put this out, so these are their content. But anything new from here on out, obviously, is going to go Disney streaming service. But I don't think it'll be this. I think this is done.
Which kind of bums me out, because this was such a immersive universe. Mm-hmm. Like, what they created with these characters, and the prospect of adding additional people into this and other characters that maybe weren't ideally suited for, like, the full-on MCU, like the cinematic MCU. This was where we were going to get a lot of those characters that normally we weren't going to get. So,
well, that's why I don't know. Can they do that, though? I know that these characters are Marvel owned.
Right.
So obviously that can go to the Disney streaming service, but the story that Netflix put out is Netflix owned.
Right. So Netflix produces the shows, as far as my understanding with it. So Netflix is going to produce the shows, but Disney still has to give them the rights to utilize the character.
So Disney take them? That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Well, Disney cannot take those seasons that are already
because
Netflix paid to produce those.
But can they make new ones?
Yes. Because they
this storyline or to go off of.
But,
you know?
But it depends on what the contract is. So if the actors, the showrunners, the producers, if everybody signed the contract to Netflix.
Yeah.
And then Netflix owns that. But maybe that is part of the agreement, right? Where Netflix says, look, Disney isn't going to let us continue to use these characters. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to destroy our relationship with Disney. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to cancel these shows. Or they're going, well, Disney's coming out with a streaming service that we know is going to hurt our bottom line because it's going to take customers.
It will.
Ultimately, there are going to be people that go, well, I can't afford both.
It's not the Netflix killer, because it's not. Netflix is not going anywhere.
But it will siphon off some of their business. So that might be Netflix's way of being like, okay, Disney, you want to play? Like, guess what? Now your shows are canceled.
Yeah, that's what I wondered.
You know, because at the end of the day, Disney did have to come to Netflix. Disney Marvel had to come to Netflix and say, we want to do these shows on your service.
Right.
And now this could be Netflix's way of just being like, cool, we're going to finish off Daredevil Season 3. We're going to finish off Punisher. And then they're canceled. And we're not going to do any more of your shows.
I wouldn't think that's a hurt for Disney at all, though. Because if anything, that's a drive for people to go to their service. You know, people are going to want that property, so they're going to continue with the Netflix subscriptions. So I don't think that hurts Disney at all. If anything, it's kind of a help for Disney for them to cancel them. Whether it was Netflix decision or, you know, Disney like saying, like, you can't do this anymore. So I don't think in any way this hurts Disney at all. If anything, it hurts Netflix because I feel like people, Marvel fans, were going there for that specific reason.
I know I was. Yeah. Any of the times we talked about canceling Netflix, I was like, well, we can't because
so-and-so's
Jessica
down the
Jones
road.
Is coming out. Oh, Luke Cage
There's
is coming out.
There's talk of a next season. Yeah. And with the think about DC and how they have their own thing now. They have a place to put their stuff. DC fans are going there to watch that stuff. So it makes sense. Like, fans are going to, you know, of the things that they love, they will look for. And if Netflix is not going to put it out anymore. They're going to assume that, oh, well, hopefully the streaming service is going, the Disney streaming service is going to do something.
Well, that, and the only other thing that I can think of is that Netflix had recently purchased the rights to the Miller world, to Mark Miller, mm-hmm. and a lot of his characters. And I know, so we had started watching The Golden Circle, Kingsman 2, mm-hmm. the other night. And that's Mark Miller. That's his creator-owned property. So they basically bought all of his other creator-owned properties, and they're going to all be done exclusively on Netflix.
Wow.
And they're going to – it's all part of the same universe, so it's going to have all these tie-ins and whatnot.
To Kingsman?
Yeah. Yeah, huh. to the Kingsman universe.
Cool. Didn't know that.
Yeah, to Kick-Ass, to was it? Is it Superior is another one of his – So there's a whole bunch of comics that he has done that now right. are all going to be live action done on Netflix, and maybe that's where they're putting their money. Is they're just going, look, hey, Marvel, Disney, it's been fun, but we know you've got your own thing coming on, and so we're going to put our money into something that we don't have to share the rights to.
It makes sense. I think that's a smart move for Netflix.
So we'll wait and see. You're right. I mean, it was what, a week ago we lost Iron Fist. We just lost Luke Cage. So if next week we lose Jessica Jones, then we would assume that eventually it's going to be Daredevil and then
Punisher down the road.
We'll see what happens to Punisher.
If they're even going to put out another season.
I mean, it's been filming, and the rumors were that it was going to, with Daredevil coming out now in October, the rumor had been that Punisher will come out before the end of the year.
Then that's probably where the end is. That's why they're probably being.
They're pushing them so quick.
We talked about this. What was the reason? You know, why are they doing this?
Yeah, why would we get all four of them? People were trying to say, like, oh, if you cancel their series, it frees it up that you can just do Defenders, and that's all you have to do, and it's all four of them all together all the time.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they are more interesting on their own.
They are, but the storylines that they were teeing up would be a lot of fun to see them in the team ups. So
no, we'll it see. Works for team ups, but I feel like they have to build, you know, continue building. And I think the build up is what's the most exciting. And then you get to that team up where for Defenders, it was great, but I think they could have done a little bit more before we got to that point. So I don't know.
We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. Perfect. It's done. Luke Cage is canceled.
Right. So moving into the cinema realm, there was leaked concept art for Avengers 4. And what was really interesting about this is we had talked about this last week with the back of the toy packaging that showed Thor in a white, kind of like a quantum realm. It's very reminiscent to what Hank Pym wears in Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then also Rocket. And they're a little like two-pack action figure. And in the corner of the packaging, it also shows Captain America in a similar suit. Mm-hmm. And then Captain Marvel, which the assumption is that they are also a two-pack set. So the art that was leaked actually shows like a bunch of the different characters. And then in the groupings of the two-packs, like you see... two-pack. You see the Rocket and Groot in the white costumes. Then you see the Captain America right next to Captain Marvel. And then below that, you see Iron Man in his traditional red and gold. And next to him is what also looks like an Iron Man-styled suit, but it's purple and white. Mm-hmm. So the rumors are that we're actually going to get Pepper Potts in her rescue armor, mm-hmm. which in the comics, basically was armor that was made for Pepper Potts.
Yeah.
So she could also be, you know, a kick-ass crime fighter. What is interesting is in the Iron Man animated adventures, they actually have Rescue has been featured in purple and white armor, which looks very reminiscent to what we're seeing here in the toy line. So the rumors are obviously that we're going to get Pepper Potts and Rescue. The other counter argument to that is people are saying that no, Tony gives some of his nanotech to Nebula mm-hmm. because she's already obviously a cyborg, and she utilizes that to make her own style, Iron Man style suit, so they can travel from Titan and survive the trip back to Earth.
That makes sense too. And when you look at the photos, it looks a lot like Rescue, but Rescue looks a lot like Nebula. So really you can't, you know, it could be either. The way that they're built, you know.
And what's tough is because Karen Gillan has said that she gets an interesting new friend in Avengers 4.
Right.
And previously you and I had talked about the potential of it being Rocket.
Yeah.
Right? Especially with
Since they're the only two.
Yeah.
Well, no, out of Guardians that are left.
They're the only ones left. So it makes sense that they would ally. And then the whole idea of the trailer leak, the description where it says that it's the two of them talking about building a weapon together. So there is the potential that maybe it is Nebula. But based on this toy line, I'm going to assume that Rocket, because Rocket Art, he already had an affinity for Thor.
Yeah, I think they're the buds.
Yeah, so I think
that's
that they team
the,
that's
up. That's the
duo. Which their dynamic yes. was fantastic. So yeah, give me more of that. I think the captains together make sense. I think that'll be really cool. Mm-hmm. And then to me, I kind of like the idea of Pepper Potts being Rescue. I kind of like her being a BA.
Think
about
that's
how cool she was in Iron Man 3.
I think that's a cool idea, but I kind of prefer it to be Nebula.
Really?
Uh-huh. I'm leaning more towards Nebula being in, not even it having to be an Iron Man suit, but him giving her, you know, the tech to be like, hey, we got to go. Both of us are fighting for something huge right now.
Yeah.
Because we don't know if Pepper makes it. That was one, you know, she could have disappeared in the snap. We don't know. Because that was one that they didn't show, and the Russos when they asked about Pepper Potts, what happens to her, they stayed quiet. Mm-hmm.
But she was seen on set multiple times, yeah. and she was seen on set in mocap outfit.
Yeah, so that's
why I feel like it leans pretty close to.
All right, so it probably leans closer to Pepper Potts. You go at Pepper. I'm going to go at Nebula.
Nice. Either way, I'm going to be happy because those both sound.
Yeah,
cool.
I think that's a cool new storyline that's going to be opening up.
Nice. So finally in the Marvel realm, Guardians Volume 3. So obviously, as we know, James Gunn was removed from his directorial duties by Disney earlier this year. But right now they're actually looking at a short list for directors to replace him. Pardon me. And what the rumors are saying is that it is an all-female list. So they're exclusively
that puts out Taika.
Yes, unfortunately for Taika, but I feel like they probably have other plans for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's working on things.
But
now.
Very interesting that they do have all female directors set for this. And what else was interesting, which we touched on just a little bit ago, was the fact that Jungle Cruise is now taking that summer 2020 release mm-hmm. because Marvel canceled their 2020 release, which everybody thought was going to be Guardians Volume 3. Now, Guardians has been pushed possibly back to 2021 mm-hmm. as they will probably not start filming until 2020,
right.
which gives them all of 2019 to find a director and start getting things mm-hmm. situated. What also is very interesting that a lot of rumors have been coming out about this is that, which James Gunn had alluded to before, that this was going to be a very different Guardians team than what we were used to. And then when you think about with Dave Bautista being so vocal,
mm-hmm.
The rumors are that he will probably not be in Volume 3.
Safe bet, Disney.
Yeah.
I would have something happen in Avengers 4.
Yeah.
It's a bummer because I love Drax.
For sure.
I think,
yeah.
And then Dave Bautista, amazing. He surprised me all the way with that character because I knew him from wrestling. So I knew his character, didn't like his character in wrestling. So that kind of put a sour taste in my mouth for him. Saw him in Guardians. Obsessed. He's amazing. And now I appreciate his stance on what's going on with the whole gun issues. And if he wants to play it that way, cool, play it that way. You know, it's your life to live. If you don't care about this affecting your career in any way, then do what you want to do. If you would rather go off and like stick by your friend, I'm sure he'll put you in Suicide Squad somewhere. So, hey, Batista of all people would probably make that movie way better. So that would just mean good things for Suicide Squad with James Gunn. And honestly, it's easy for them to just kill him off in Avengers 4. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, if you do have Thanos just kind of still being the big bad, I think having Drax be the one that gets him is a poetic justice, right? Like it's from when we first met him, that was his mission, ultimately, was that he was trying to get to Thanos.
Yep, for his family. Yeah. So, do it for the fam, yo.
Right. Do it for my blood. For fam.
I don't know.
For the fam blood.
I don't see Drax sticking around much longer after Avengers 4.
No.
And I don't think he wants to. So.
No, and honestly, if you're going to keep Guardians to be a viable franchise to continue past the typical trilogy that you get, I think having like a good blend of the old and the new, like maybe you still have Star-Lord and you still have Rocket, but you know, if you don't have Gamora or Drax or Groot, mm-hmm. or maybe you do still have Groot and you lose Star-Lord and it's Rocket and Groot and Nebula trying to build a new team around them. Mm-hmm. So maybe you have Thor joins Guardians of the Galaxy. So
that
becomes a new group of cool guys. So.
I think that's where it goes. I don't think you need another Thor movie. I think you move on to Thor is with a new crew now.
It's Guardians. And honestly, I was kind of thinking about that. And I know we're getting a little bit off track here. I'm sorry. But I was kind of thinking like I almost would prefer that they don't keep up with the solo movies as much anymore when it comes to the MCU. Mm-hmm. And I want them to do more of the team ups. You know what I mean? Like, think about how cool the X-Force that you were reading, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
When it was like Wolverine, Archangel, right. Wolf's Bane, Domino, X-23, like that group. Like, I kind of want to see more
so
of that.
So you
like,
just go right into a team up, you're saying?
Yeah, like you already have these characters. So like Defenders as an example, right? Like, yeah, the Defenders that we got in Netflix was, you know, the Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Jessica Jones. But what if you do Defenders like they had in the comic books, which was Doctor Strange, Silver mm-hmm. Surfer, Hulk?
Right.
Like, I think that kind of stuff to me was what was always really fun about some of these runs. Well, do a West Coast Avengers led by Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Like, why not, you know?
Well, we don't know. We don't know what's happening after, really, 2020 after, yeah. or 2019. We don't know what's going on in 2020. We have no idea. We know we're getting another Guardians movie at some point, but right. we don't know what that team consists of.
Yeah.
We have no idea what's happening after Avengers 4, so we don't know who makes it.
Yeah, we know we're getting Black Panther 2. Obviously, we know we're getting Far From Home.
Mm-hmm.
We know Doctor Strange 2 has been talked about as well. Black Widow solo movie's been talked about. But that's the thing is, like, I'm okay with them still doing sequels here and there, but I would almost prefer more like Guardians-esque movies where it's like,
it's
let's introduce you to a team.
People.
Yeah, and we'll pull a couple people you're already familiar with and we'll introduce some new people for you that don't, maybe they're not strong enough of a character to need a solo movie, but in a team up are great.
Like, that works.
You could throw Quasar, you could throw Nova, like put them in the team up. You don't need a Quasar solo movie just to introduce them.
I think that works. I just wonder if they will try to go back to the whole phase, like first decade of things. Like,
yeah.
do they try to continue to do solo things and then get to that big team up again? Like, are they going to try to do that, have that Avengers moment again where
yeah.
they finally got to that Avengers film and that was crazy nuts? And now, like, are we doing solo movies to lead up to that big event again?
I don't think so, because they've talked about how difficult it was to keep that going.
Yeah.
And that Kevin Feige has said like phase 4 is going to be completely different mm-hmm. from what we're used to, which is why I would tend to think we're going more towards the team up mentality.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's one of those things that we'll just have to wait
until,
and see.
I think we won't know until Avengers 4. Until
oh, for
whatever
sure.
happens with that. We'll see the future of the MCU. So let's talk about, is that all for Marvel News?
That's all for Marvel News, getting Star Wars.
All right, so let's talk about Princess Leia and what's going to happen in episode 9. So what's going on?
All right, so this was kind of interesting. Like, we know we've talked about before the fact that they're going to use archived footage of Carrie Fisher that was unused in The Force Awakens in episode 7.
Right.
That they weren't going to CGI her like what they did in Rogue One. They weren't going to do like a stand-in or anything like that. It was all going to be footage that was previously shot. So what was really interesting about this is, you know, if you remember from like the trailer, we see a scene where Maz Kanata's, you can see her handing the lightsaber to Leia. So we mm-hmm. know that there is footage of Maz and Leia out there
right.
Having some sort of interaction. You know, we know that they had talked previously about there was a Warhammer storyline where it was basically a weapon that the Resistance was either creating or had already created, which was, it wasn't like a Starkiller base. It was more of a weapon that could like, that was more of a ship that could destroy Star Destroyers, that could like carve through Star Destroyers, which would be very reminiscent of the Sun Crusher, which was from the Expanded Universe, which ultimately the Empire created it, but then it was stolen by Kip Duran when he went to the Kurita, which was the Stormtrooper training planet, to rescue his brother, but then sets off the Sun Crusher. Which what it does is it's similar to Starkiller Base, where Starkiller Base sends out multiple missiles to destroy the planet itself. Sun Crusher sends out one, like basically a neutron bomb
mm-hmm.
that enters the star system's sun, and the sun goes supernova and destroys all the planets that are near it.
Supernova.
And that's what he does to Kurita, is that he sends off that missile and it basically engulfs the planet, killing his own brother. And then ultimately, once he goes to train with Luke on Yavin 4, they have him use the Force to put it into the middle of Yavin's son so mm-hmm. nobody can retrieve it because it's indestructible. The armor plating that it uses cannot be destroyed. So literally, you can just fly it through at a Star Destroyer. It'll just tear it completely to shreds. Ugh. You don't even have to fire a weapon at it. It has like no external guns other than that missile that it shoots out.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, so for me, I'm kind of with a lot of the naysayers that were like, well, that's not really something that Leia would be like, let's use this. Yeah. But I do feel like if you're thinking about where episode 9 is going to go, where the resistance is decimated, the First Order is definitely even more empowered than they were when we met them in episode 7. This is that weapon that like they kind of need. They need something that is a bit of a super weapon. And it would be interesting to see them deal with the morality of whether or not to use it. Like, we have this at our disposal. We know we can use this to turn the tide, but doing so puts us on that same level that the First Order's on. And are we willing to do bad things to get good results?
No. Mm-mm. I don't think that's a Leia way.
But I think that would be an interesting debate, right? Like, to see that conflict of, well, what... how do you find that middle ground? Because you want to win, but you want to win the right way. You want to win without losing your soul.
You always have hope. And
yeah, for sure.
There's another way. They can always find another way. And I think Leia stood for that, if any, from the original trilogy. You know, Leia stands for that of all. I'm more interested in how this is going to come across. So obviously, I think we kept saying that we expect to lose Leia in the opening crawl. That would make no sense anymore. If they're going to use her, you know, in the film with archive footage, that's not happening anymore. So that's kind of cool because I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want to lose her that way. But we already know she's gone. So what happens to her character from here on out? You know, does she just continue a storyline with whatever footage they have and somehow they just make it work, and maybe she never dies off? Like, maybe we don't see her die in this trilogy, which I think I would kind of be okay with if they left her alive.
Yeah, she's the sole survivor of like that original three type
thing. But
I mean, because think about it, in Last Jedi they kept teeing it up that like, oh, Leia's gonna go, and then she didn't. So it'd be kind of interesting if they were like, didn't tee it up at all, and they're just like, no, she just lives.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it is.
She just is.
Yeah.
Wherever the story goes, it goes. She's getting older. She doesn't use the Force like she obviously did in Last Jedi because she needed to survive. I'm sure that put a toll on her body. She probably can't. She probably can't do anything. Yeah. You know, that's why I'm wondering, like, from footage, it's like, JJ didn't know Ryan was going in this direction with it. So from the footage he has, how does that like at all like line up? I don't even know.
Well, and that was the other thing people have been talking about, is that with Leia being out in space for as long as she was before she Mary Poppined her way back into the ship, that the exposure to radiation and whatnot, that she would be slowly killed because of that anyways. So
So I don't know. What do you guys
imagine
want?
If that's the opening crawl? It's like Princess Leia has, or General Leia has died of radiation poisoning. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, no.
I thought we were getting archived footage of her. This is ridiculous.
Right. They've just been lying to us this whole time. I don't know. What do you guys want? Do you want her to have a send off in this next film? Because obviously we know Carrie Fisher is no longer with us. So is it closure? Is it something we need for that character? Or is it okay to just have her character live on and kind of just see this group to where they need to go? Obviously stop the First Order here and now. And maybe she has a, you know, a hand in it, but also to just live on her days. And we know that there's a hint of she is dying because of what happened in The Last Jedi.
Right.
So we know she's going to go because that's just what's going to happen with her character because of the radiation. But I don't know. Do we need to see it? Like, do we need to see it finalized? Like, do they kill her off?
I don't know.
I kind of don't want them to anymore. And I thought I did. I think I thought I needed closure, and now I don't. I don't.
Right.
I just want her to just live. We know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just leave her.
She's the one that makes it out. No, we're going to get Billy Dee's the only one that makes it out alive.
Right. I forget that he keeps coming back.
That's why they save him for the third the third episode in the trilogy, and then he's the only one that they keep alive.
They're only bringing him back to kill him off. I mean, obviously.
Of course. Nice. So next little bit of Star Wars news that we got for you guys here, that George Lucas himself, the creator, the man, the myth, the legend, the master,
the maker.
Oh, good. I like that one. Actually visited the set of The Mandalorians and posed for a picture with Dave Filoni and,
Favreau.
Yeah. John Favreau. And this actually stirred up rumors that there was the potential that he was going to return to the franchise. Probably not in like, I'm going to retake my property back and I'm gonna do my midichlorians. No, like I think it was more of a, that he may direct like an episode of The Mandalorian, or that
would
may,
be pretty cool,
like write an episode, or you know, at least be like creative consultant, which I mean he was to some degree, but then
he hasn't really been gone as much as we think he is. He has stopped by, I think, almost every set.
He has, but they kind of said, hey, George, thanks for stopping by. We'll see you later for Force Awakens. And they really didn't let him back on for like, and that was the problem, is that initially it was talked about that he was going to be on as a creative consultant, that they were going to go to him for like, hey, can we do this? Does it still make sense in the universe? And he started saying, I think, no, too many times, and they were like, well, thanks, George. It's been fun. And then they kind of moved on. So I think that this one, because of the roadblocks that they've been running into more recently, I think that they are bringing him back on because there is a little bit of that goodwill that is brought on with his name. You know, like there is he has a certain amount of gravitas that he brings to anything that he's going to touch for the Star Wars universe.
And Favreau, you know, touching on The Mandalorian, something that nobody else is doing or has done yet. So I bet he wants his input.
Yeah.
I feel like from the photo of just Favreau and Lucas, like if you've seen that one, his smile is from ear to ear. It's kind of nuts, like
he's
how
pumped.
Big John Favreau is smiling. And he said something like it was like an early birthday surprise or something, or early birthday present for him to stop by. But I don't know. I think it's cool to get input, and what could it hurt?
Yeah, you know? Right. What's the worst that can happen?
What could it hurt? You know,
the person
who created this whole dang thing, it wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for him in the first place. So I don't know. And I was excited to read about like where that led, where Lucas was going to take his trilogy, how he sees like what people were mentioning about like the negative sides of what's happening now. He's like, honestly, I don't think people would have liked what I was going to give them for the sequel trilogy. He talked about that it was going to be about the wills, that it was going to be the Force only works because of the wills, you know, and that they are the living force,
embodiment
guess, So he was like microbiotic, I guess.
Yeah.
What he
no, well, he was
going
to go like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull on us. So yeah, probably better that we that we dodged that bullet. So
that was going to be his full circle, and all he had to say was whether people liked it or not, he was just going to be happy that he finished it, that he put it out, and he completed his story.
Nice.
So,
but I wonder if there'll be elements of that get plugged into The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. or like Rian Johnson's trilogy, or the Game of Thrones writers trilogy. So,
I think if these people know what they're doing, they should. I think they should get as much input from Lucas as they can. That he's willing to give, I think they should take. And if it works for the story, great. If it doesn't, have the essence of it in there. You know, like say, okay, it doesn't really continue our story, but we can probably tweak it somehow. I think anything that Lucas is going to touch on this is better than anybody because, once again, he's the maker.
Right.
But
he's like, hear me out.
We know the arguments against Lucas, so.
Hear me out. How about a trilogy on Gungans? Everybody loved Gungans, right?
I loved the scenery. It looked pretty.
Right? Well, you did a good job with some of it.
No, I enjoyed the prequel, so.
No, same. I mean, I pick on it out of love.
She's lying.
It's like a younger sister that you can't punch them, so you just make fun of them all the time.
Oh, you just poke.
Yeah, right?
All right.
Nice. So, last bit of Star Wars news.
Let's talk about Wreck-It Ren. Wait. Wreck-It Ralph. Wait.
Kylo Ralph.
All right, so for the new or upcoming Wreck-It Ralph film that's out in November, you know how they're poking fun at basically all the Disney properties. Nobody is safe everybody has a joke thrown at them. We know that there is Lucasfilm property in it.
Yeah. We've seen the stormtroopers chasing down
Vanellope. We know 3PO is going to be in there for a princess scene or something. Whatever the directors are, it would have been.
It's going to be 3PO standing, like, walks into the sleepover, and he's like, "Can I join?" And they're like, "No, you're not a princess." And he's like, "I'm a queen." And then R2-D2's like, "Yes, queen." But he does it with like,
"Yes, queen." It's like subtitled.
Yes, queen. Yep.
3PO is supposed to be their butler.
Of course.
That was footage from, I think, the expo.
Oh, nice.
That they got to see.
Very cool.
So, sorry if I spoiled that for everybody. Anyway, if it was spoiled for me, I'm spoiling it for you.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so what I was trying to say is that the director went to Lucasfilm, and they had, obviously, they have to ask, can we use so-and-so? Is that okay? They say yes. One character in particular, Kylo Ren, they asked, hey, we have this joke about Kylo Ren. And what the joke was, he's going to be a spoiled child, like a little spoiled brat, basically.
It would have been great for to bring back the, did you have a nice tantrum? Or
did you have a tantrum? Diaper baby?
That would have been freaking great.
Because we use it all the time. Yep. Every time Kylo pops up, it's so great. Anyway, so they're going to, is it Richard Moore or Rich Moore? I think he's the director that's on Wreck-It Ralph. So he went to Lucasfilm, asked, and they just, you know, so bluntly said, you know, hey, it would be nice if you didn't say that about our villain in your film. So we'll say no. And they were nice about it and cordial. And they're like, cool, we'll leave it at that. Not even going to worry about it. So no bad blood or anything. It was just, we had this idea for Kylo Ren. We want to kind of spoof him a little bit. And it makes sense. He's their villain. Everybody already does it as it is. I think everybody, Star Wars fans, including us, we poke fun at Kylo Ren.
It's hard not to.
It's the same with Anakin. It's the same with Luke. Like, when you're acting like a baby, you're acting like a baby.
There is a personality trait that lies deep within the men in the Skywalker family. So,
and it's a diaper baby. Anywho,
heck, there's things that Remy does that you're like, he gets that from you,
and like, it shows. Yeah. It definitely shows. That's the way of the character. But it makes sense that they're like, hey, it's our villain. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
But you can use R2 and 3PO and the stormtroopers and all the ships.
Right.
Okay, just put the whole movie in there. Just don't put Kylo Ren.
Yeah, just or no Vader. Kylo. Just no Kylo. Poe appears. Rey appears.
Everybody but Kylo.
Boba appears. You get everybody.
That'd be really cool if Boba appears, though. If he's like, I can't make it into the films, but...
General Grievous shows up, and then Vanellope's like, do you need like an inhaler or something, man? And then she gives him an inhaler, and he's like, oh, thank you. That's much better. And his voice completely changes. He stops wheezing.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Can somebody do that?
Can we do that joke? That would be a fun joke.
That would be great. Grievous, a Grievous stroke. Anywho, but that's all I had for, you know, some fun little Star Wars news.
For the Star Wars. Nice. Well, I think that's all I had for news. So do you want to take a quick break? We'll come back for some shout-outs. Shout-outs!
Sure. Let's do it. So we spend a lot of time talking about Marvel on the show, for good reason. They're always ahead of the curve when it comes to bringing top-level entertainment to their fans through their comics, TV shows, movies, and now podcasts.
Marvel has teamed up with Stitcher to bring you the first fully scripted 10-episode series, Wolverine: The Long Night. Following a string of mysterious deaths in Burns, Alaska, Special Agents Sally Pierce and Tad Marshall, voiced by Celia Keenan-Bolger and Ado Essendoe, arrive to investigate. They soon find there's more than meets the eye when all signs point to one man, Logan, voiced by Richard Armitage from The Hobbit series. This is your first chance to not only enjoy this premium Marvel content, but you can also support our show by going to stitcher.com/premium and using the promo code CloudCity to get your first month free. If you fall in love with their new show, as well as the other exclusive content available on Stitcher Premium, then it's only like $5 a month. But we'll still hook you up with that first month for free, even if you decide to cancel after that.
so you're getting a free month's access to the first Marvel podcast. Plus, you get to help out our show. Cut the check.
Cut the check. Cut the check. Cut the check.
So please do us a huge favor and head over to Stitcher.com/premium and start your free trial today using the promo code CloudCity. That's all one word. Again, that's Stitcher.com/premium and use the promo code CloudCity.
Fine. I'll do it myself.
All right, so it's time for some shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
All right, let's go back to our last episode and what you guys had to say on, the live-action remakes that have been coming out. So we got a cool article that was sent over by DGeekster, which we had come across, and we just chose not to talk about it because I think it was one of those where it's a fine line. Like, you teeter-totter on... Well, we teeter-totter on the idea of this because we can see both sides of this argument. And we obviously have been in favor of a lot of the live-action remakes. We are very much a, hey, if you can come up with a new idea for it and spin it a new way or give us a new take on the story, Disney, it's your property. Put it out there. We'll buy it. We will be there and we will pay money to see it.
Or give us a cast that's racially accurate.
that too. If you want to change things up, do things to today's standards, we're okay with that. And then there are people who are not for the live action remake. They just want new stuff. Or maybe for other purposes, they don't appreciate how... I guess you could say the people who had worked on the animated films, the animators themselves,
not getting recognition
for where the new films are going. So that's kind of what this article touched on. And more so the Aladdin, one of the writers on the animated Aladdin, Terry Rossio. So he's always been vocal about everything, from politics to anything. If you follow his Twitter, he's very vocal about lots of things. But obviously today, with just what, last week or 2 weeks ago, the Aladdin teaser trailer coming out, and the only line being, said in the whole thing was a line that him and his other co-writer put together. They came up with, they wrote it. And they touched on that, or he touched on that, and the fact that, you know what, it's not that, not even about being compensated for this, it's about like getting recognition at all.
Or like a pass to the park. He was literally like any kind of a thank you, like a thank you note, if anything.
And then that goes to speak for even more of the animators who were getting Beauty and the Beast. With luckily, the writer, one of the writers on it, did get credit. So they do, they pay their dues where they feel necessary.
And his writing partner was Ted Elliott.
Okay. There you go. So, obviously, with Beauty and the Beast, yes, they did credit the writer. Oh, I forget her name. Something Wolverton or something. Oh, I'm getting that completely wrong. Anyway, they did credit her, so I'm glad that they did that. So, this is where the argument is do you... Should they get credit? This, obviously, the animated team, they obviously worked on the animation and the story for it. And now we're going to get a live action rendition of their story that they wrote. Should those people get credit?
Well, see, okay, and this is where it becomes such a difficult gray area, and especially for me personally, because does it suck that these guys don't get recognition or compensation? It definitely does. But that comes down to their contracts. It comes down to their union not fighting for better contracts for them before they go into actually work. But I also know that it's a difficult industry, and that if this person, it makes too many demands, they're like, all right, get rid of them. We'll get somebody that is willing to work for less, right? That's kind of what it always comes down to. The difficult side, the gray area that I get into comes from my own experience when it comes to compensation and being and
when you sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, when you sign on the dotted line, contractual obligations and then royalties, right? So for those that are new to the show or people that have forgotten that I've mentioned this at least once every other episode, I used to be in a band. We weren't famous by any stretch of the imagination, but we were signed to a management label and a record label. And, had put out records, had played Warped Tour, did all the things that you're supposed to do, right? So one of the shows that we had played was for a college in upstate New York. And they gave us a pretty hefty price tag to pay for our appearance for the concert. And it was like, if I remember correctly, it was like a solo show. It wasn't like us and other bands. It was literally, they were paying just for us.
Right.
And with that, part of the contract was they were going to utilize one of our songs. We didn't think it was going to be anything extensive because it's not a very well-known college. It's not like, it's not like it was Cornell, right? Like, it's not like it was NYU that was going to do it. So we didn't think anything of it because what we were getting paid was above and beyond what we normally get paid for an appearance. Mm-hmm. And we were like, cool, yeah, if they're going to use a song, it's not going to be for much. They literally used that song
all of their promotion.
For everything for like 5 years. Yeah. They used it like... You would go to the movies, and it would be there would be a commercial for the college with our song playing underneath it.
It'd be
it.
On commercials.
It'd be on the radio. It would be on TV, like all hours of the night, all throughout the day. It was insane, but it was because they were like, oh, we're just using raw footage of our students that we don't have to pay for. Mm-hmm. We're using this song that we paid for.
Already paid them for.
Which I was like, yeah, for an appearance, we were well paid. Mm-hmm. For
if you really read the contract, if you had somebody sit right down and you broke it down for you, that's what you needed.
But I think our management basically looked at it and was like, oh, well, I'll get a 10% cut of this payment.
Right.
So I don't care. Right. Because the manager was never going to get royalty fees.
Yes.
Whereas getting a decent, like a really nice pay day right there, they were going to walk away.
So that's something you would have wanted. You would have hoped that royalties were in that contract for them
involved.
To use it as many times as they did.
Like we even had Napster had used a song of ours a year or two before that for a commercial, and we got paid royalties for it.
Napster.
I mean, it wasn't much. Because
I'm surprised they paid you at
all. Because royalties are cents on the dollar, right? Like, it's a very, very small amount is what musicians actually get paid. Because you get, it's mechanical royalties is anytime the song is played, you're supposed to get your percentage. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's five guys in the band. So even that small percentage is then divvied up equally between the five of us. So, as well as your management company and your record label and everybody that has points on it. So you don't see a lot of money. So that is where it becomes difficult. So like, yeah, and I get where Terry Rossio is coming from, where it's like, yeah, it'd be nice that I'm not saying I need $1 million for this, but it would be nice to get something like some sort of thank you. And to some degree, it's like, yeah, I could look at it as the benefit of like if people go and they watch that commercial and they go, wow, I really like that song. I'm going to check out that band. Like, yeah, maybe they buy a CD or they buy a song on iTunes or they go to a show and buy a T-shirt. Right. Like, obviously not anymore because we don't play. And maybe that's the same thing as somebody goes and they watch this new one and they go, oh, well, I want to go back and watch the animated one. And they go, oh, well, I really like the animators on this. I want to see who worked on that. And maybe it's another studio that wants to figure out those people. But I kind of also feel like we are pretty far removed when the animated version of Aladdin came out. Like in the example that I used with my music, like we were still a touring band when all of this was happening and we were not going to get consistent royalties for that, which would have aided us in being able to survive
on
tour
and
potentially ultimately still be a band.
Right.
With these animators, like it has been a long, long time that what they got paid for doing the job that they did.
Right. And I think that's where it is in the contracts. I think it needs to go further to with their, what is that called? Their union. What is that called?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it a union?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a like specific name for their animated blah, 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 the guild. You know, like how it's like the movies, American Movie Guild or whatever it's called.
What it was.
Anyway.
Oh, the Animation Guild, IATSE Local 839.
So.
And they typically represent animation writers. Mm-hmm. And then they've been able to negotiate the same comprehensive benefits for screenwriters as the Writers Guild of America, which represent the live-action screenwriters. But that's ultimately what it comes down to, is the live-action screenwriters guild has a better union.
They do. They go to bat for their workers, and they get them what they should get. And I think that's what sucks about the animated one is, like, in these contracts, things should be set up in place, especially now. For any of these movies now that is Disney putting out, and really any company that's putting out, if your name is on something and you're only going to get paid that one time for working on that movie, because they don't get
residuals
and stuff like that. Like, oh, something off of the merch. Oh, this is going to be redone. We're going to get money off of it. No, you make the movie and that's what you get paid for.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But I think they need to be smarter now to where that guild needs to go, no, if something is used from this, you know, specific writer,
Yeah.
If their name is on that line, if you know they wrote this script and you are going to use this line in your future movie, that's where they need to come in and be like, no,
right.
He needs to get credit.
Yeah.
This group needs to get credit. So really, yes, it
oops.
Yes, it sucks. Sorry. Yes, yes, that it does suck that they don't have to get credit. I think they should. But really, when it comes down to it, like we said, they don't have to.
Yeah.
Disney is doing what they're doing for what is theirs. God, it sucks to say that because it sounds so bad on Disney's part, but it is theirs. They made this movie for Disney. It's done. It was said and done over 20-something years, and now it's theirs to do with whatever they want with.
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, you got paid to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when I worked at Hot Topic, I don't demand that they still pay me for a job that I did, you know, a decade ago. That's just, you know.
I think it's tough. I think it's really tough when it comes to original content. I mean, I know it's not original content, but when it comes to their version of something, it is your original content. It is always hard to see somebody steal it and take it and then you not get any credit for it. I'm sure if anything I ever sold was redone and then somebody else is making more money off of it, sure, I would be upset one day. I get that. You have every right to be. It's just one of those things where, but you did get paid for it.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's a bummer. It's an argument that will continue to like eat itself.
Well, it's like,
you feel bad for both sides, I guess.
Because think about like YouTube singers that get famous covering somebody else's song.
Constantly.
And it's like, they don't get paid for that song because they're putting it out free on YouTube, but they still get the notoriety. They still get the fame, and the original artist is not getting any compensation for this other person doing it.
Well, and a lot of these YouTubers, they actually do get paid in a way because they get paid for all the subscribers that are subscribing to their channels because of that song that is not theirs that they are singing.
Yeah, or think of a comedian that does impressions, right?
Yeah.
Like they're making money off of imitating somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, where do you draw the line? I think it's
tough.
It's difficult because there is too much gray area.
I think
when it comes to entertainment,
it needs to go back to the people that are protecting their rights.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
They need to get better. I think the Animation Guild or I'm never going to remember the name, it needs to get better. They need to go to bat for their guys and they need to, you know, have things set in stone that they are going to get compensated for the stuff that they've worked on.
Yeah.
That's just, I think, where it lies.
Yeah, and then it also has to be up to the individual. Is what I'm going to get paid to do this job worth it, knowing that I will not get anything in the back end?
Knowing that if 10, 20, 30 years down the road, I don't see anything from what may come of it.
Yeah.
So I would say if you are in that field right now and if you're listening to this and you're hearing it and you're wondering, is it going to be worth it for you now? Probably, but is it going to be worth it for you 30 years from now?
Who knows?
It might not be. You might be bitter. You might be angry.
Well, hey, maybe you're Kenny Ortega where you direct Hocus Pocus. It bombs at the box office, but then 25 years later, 20 some odd years later, you get to do Descendants 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then all these
you
appearances
have a name.
As its resurgence in the film that you did decades ago.
Right.
You
it know? Still works. So I don't know. Thank you, DeGeekster, for sending that over. We know your side on all of this. So we know you're more on the animator line. And I mean, hey, you are an artist yourself. So it makes sense. I see why you would side with that. And we see both sides. It's just, I guess at the end of the day, we will love a good Disney movie.
Yeah, true.
We're bad people. No, but thank you for sending that over. We always appreciate all the cool articles that you send our way.
Nice.
But yeah, so we'll stop there. There's a few more shout outs out there. Jedi Rabbis, we did watch La La Land. We will probably be doing an I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That for it. So we'll let you know.
Yes.
And thanks for everybody else who also commented and responded to things.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that's all we have for this episode of Hilt Radio. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. BMO, where can they find you?
I'm at Citizen of Disney.
Perfect. You can find me at Liam Bright. If you want to follow the show itself, Hilt Radio on Twitter and Instagram. You can also email us, hiltradio@gmail.com.
Cool.
I think that's it. So thanks for tuning in. We will catch you on the next episode. But as always, until then, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HiltRadio.com. See you real soon!